praying in the wilderness. Passages like these that have been read this morning are in the Bible for times like this. They bolster our faith and hope and love in face of devastating adversity. They give us direction in the midst of global confusion. They invite us to center ourselves spiritually in preparation for whatever challenges we may face in the coming days and weeks. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Into the wilderness. The word translated wilderness is eremos. According to Strong's lexicon, among the definitions are these two. One is that it is a solitary, lonely, desolate, inhabited space. And so we think of a wilderness in those terms a lot of times, the place, the location, the place. This is the wilderness of Jerusalem on the in Judea on the slide there, where maybe kind of area that Jesus was in experiencing as far as the location of the wilderness. And we have different ideas about the wilderness in our area. It usually has a lot more plants in it, a lot more vegetation, and outgrown and not easily navigated and full of all kinds of creatures. Other places, maybe an urban area, is often thought of as a wilderness, for all, especially if somebody's not from there, some place to be easily lost in and confused, which kind of segues us to that other definition of among several, of being deprived of the aid and protection of others. When we think of it that way, we might think of a lot of different scenarios, but especially in our current events, we think of over 82 million refugees around the world, and the number is growing daily, even before the invasion of Ukraine. We think of victims of war and oppression, natural disasters, and any number of issues that bring suffering and destruction to communities and individuals. We think about the hardships experienced every day by individuals and the families with inadequate incomes, health care issues, violence, and a whole range of socioeconomic disparities and injustices. So the word wilderness carries a lot with it, doesn't it? It covers a lot of territory besides just the geographic location. The idea of wilderness is also a spiritual idea, an idea that encompasses a state of existence. Our wilderness circumstances we have in our lives bring us temptations as they did with Jesus. And in our circumstances, the temptation perhaps to twist or abandon our faith when we are in our wilderness times is much like what Jesus faced in his wilderness time that was read about in the gospel reading today. People are tempted to apply the promises of God in self-serving ways. But it is written, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. People are tempted to make up their own interpretations of God's promises and then expect God to abide whatever distortions they produce at any given time. But thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. People are tempted to doubt the promises of God and put their trust elsewhere. But it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus was led to the wilderness by the Spirit, as he was filled with the Holy Ghost on his baptism. And that was the whole circumstance of his time going, and after being baptized, led into the wilderness by the Spirit for this time. of temptation. In the reading from Romans today, it has this famous promise, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever is an invitation that is extended to everyone at all times. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One dimension of salvation is our justification when we place our faith in God. We began our own spiritual transformation. We entered into a spiritual relationship with God and with each other. Our spiritual senses were awakened to life in a greater reality than our physical existence. Another dimension of our salvation is sanctification, when we felt ourselves enveloped by God's eternal and unconditional love. And through that love, we are drawn to a sacramental life of prayer and Bible study, worship, fellowship with others who share that joy of salvation and relationship in the faith community. We strive to love others as profoundly and as freely as God in Christ loves us. We examine our own lives to identify ways we can improve the love that we are offering to others to make it be more like the love that we're receiving from Christ. Encompassing all of our salvation, all of our hope, these dimensions that perhaps we can even sometimes think of specific points in time and places where we were when we had some of these religious experiences. Encompassing them all is the divine grace that brings together all of our experiences of salvation. God extends wholeness and love to all humanity in the same way that he maketh to rain on the just and the unjust. As we realize how much we are benefiting from God's goodness, we extend the same encouragement and support to everyone else around us as we're able. We honor the image of God in each and every person, sharing faith and spiritual conversation in ways that enable us to nurture and support each other in God's love. The psalmist in today's reading read this way in Message translation. It says, "You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow, saying this, say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe." We say those words with and echo them this morning in our congregation as they're echoed in congregations all around the world, with some hope and at the same time some trepidation and some desire to strengthen our confidence in this claim. You are my refuge. Those who dwelleth, as it says in the King James, those who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is our refuge and our fortress. But sometimes that's difficult to comprehend when so many people who are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty are anything but safe in a lot of ways this moment. The psalmist goes on later in the passage to say this, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." And that's the verse that Jesus quoted, or that the devil quoted to Jesus in the temptation, trying to get him to do something stupid. Whoever be careful how we receive and understand what we hear in the Bible, because somebody like the devil or somebody else could twist that and be using it wrong and get the wrong results, the wrong understanding. How do we know what any of this means then? It goes on to say, no evil will befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Several other verses with promises that seem to say nothing bad will happen. So for interpretation, look to the cross. Look to Jesus. Jesus went through temptation at every point, even as we do, but the Bible says without sin. Jesus experienced the cross, praying on his way there the night before, "Not my will, but thine be done." All of the apostles and countless faithful believers through the ages have since been experiencing unspeakable hardships. Yet with them, we continue to affirm, in God we trust. We trust our prayers to be effective in not just pleading for help, but also in providing spiritual girding and assistance and direction and strength when we are unable to participate more directly and substantively in offering relief. Our spirits are connected in prayer with each other throughout the whole body of Christ around the world and in the great beyond. We grow deeper in self-discovery and in our relationship with our Creator as we pray. And in all of this, we find a place of quiet rest, as one hymn says, near to the heart of God, where sin, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. We trust God to show us our part in contributing to the solutions to the problems and the issues that we face in our own lives and around the world. We trust God's overarching grace to overcome evil with good and deliver suffering humanity into a recreated world of justice and peace and perfect love. In the ancient Hebrew text from Deuteronomy today, it says this in the Message: "And God took us out of Egypt with his strong hand, his long arm, terrible and great, with signs and miracles and wonders. And he brought us to this place, gave us this land, flowing with milk and honey." In the wilderness, pray for deliverance from oppression. In the wilderness, pray for the outstretched arm of Almighty God to provide great power with signs and wonders. In the wilderness, pray for those who are suffering, that they will be brought to a place flowing with milk and honey. For those who are going through and suffering injustice, it's a lot harder to claim this promise, these promises. And so we who are suffering less must claim these promises for those who are suffering more. After Jesus went through these temptations, Matthew's gospel says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him." May this season of Lent be for us a time of spiritual renewal, and may the outward physical realm be transformed to reflect the inward spiritual realm.